This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. We are the Junkies coming to you live from D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. Watch us on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by EMP180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area because it works. Visit EMP180.com and get empowered. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop. Got Alan May joining us at 8:20 from NBC Sports Washington, Caps expert, and we will get his take on it. But interesting article in the Washington Post by Barry Zwolga about Todd Reirden and how the Capitals have 30 games left this season and they've got to figure things out.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know. So what have they? They lost 7 of 8, something like that, 8 of 9. Yep. They had a nice win coming back from the break right over Calgary without Ovi, but then they lost a tough one to Boston, even though Holtby and the defense, they played out of their minds, right? They played great.
Holtby played a great game against
I think
Boston.
It might have been his best save percentage in the regular season for maybe a game he lost. But, you know, awesome. But, you know, still, they're on this losing streak, and the article I thought by Barry was very interesting. Some of the quotes in here. So obviously the question is, can Reirden pull these guys out of something like this? And he says, that's something that I feel has been my strength as a coach. My feel for what the room needs at the right time, what our team needs to correct areas that are concerning. He goes further, later in the article, he goes, I know I have the skill set to get the players out of this, which is great, right? You need that self-confidence. What I found interesting, though, was when they went to the GM, Brian McClellan, he, on the record, said, when asked, does Reirden have what it takes to pull the guys out of this? He goes, I don't know. Brian McClellan, the team's general manager, the guy who hired Reirden, will find out. That's hard for me to say. It's results. It's a results business. Now, he also further goes on to say, listen, this is what happens with any assistant coach. When they ascend to the head coach, they're going to be tested. And so this is it's no different. But we actually don't know if he has what it takes as a head coach to pull a team that's spiraling out of it and get him back on track. Barry Trotz was on the verge, right, several times, we thought, of getting blown out.
I think it was at least twice during the Stanley Cup winning season where he was right on the precipice of getting fired.
Right, yeah. But they knew Barry knows how to pull the right strings and get teams back on track. Reirden, it's not his fault. He just doesn't have experience doing it at this level.
Some guys are just cut out to be really good top assistants.
Yeah. You know? And by the way, this is not a knock against Reirden. It's a lack of experiencing. This is the first time he's really, you know,
been faced
under
with
the
it.
Gun.
Yeah.
And well, so, by the way, we have him on every other week. He's fantastic.
Love him.
He's a great guy.
I love him. So I hope he pulls him out. But I thought it was very, very telling when you asked the GM, does Todd Reirden basically have what it takes to get this team out of the spiral? And the quote is, I don't know. We'll find out. It's results. It's a results business. Does that worry you as a Caps fan? That's
well,
a question.
Couple things. One is, yes, it's starting to get very worrisome. Okay, they've lost 8 of 9. And I know coaches are always to blame when a team struggles. Happens in every sport. They're usually the guys fired. But this is a veteran-laden team. It's loaded with veterans on this roster. And this is a team that won the Stanley Cup last year. I think we're blaming the coach more than we should be. I think we should start really blaming the players.
Yeah. And also, I think you can't find a more difficult job than inheriting the Stanley Cup champs.
Yeah, tough shoes to fill with Barry Trotz departing.
Yeah, I mean, you got all the weight of all the expectations. You haven't even had a chance yet to kind of set your own tone, your own identity. You're assuming you're taking the reins of the defending cup champ. It's not easy.
A lot of what Reardon's going through is what Davey Martinez went through last
year. Right.
Now, Davey Martinez didn't inherit a World Series champion, but he certainly inherited a team that was loaded with talent.
Well, they thought they were on the cusp of it.
On the cusp, and there was a lot of expectations for this team, even though, you know, some fans probably said, let's give them a break. It was a short off season. But Yeah, well, it remains to be seen if he can bring them out of it. Losing eight of nine. If they lose again, it's almost to the point where every game is big now.
Right.
Even with 30 games
to play. Well, the Canucks just played last night. So I know we've gone down this road before.
They've lost to teams on the back-to-back.
Teams
before.
That have come in with no rest, that's a team you have to take advantage of.
Remember the Islanders came in off a back-to-back?
Sure. And there was another team that's escaping me that did the exact same thing.
So they can lose to teams coming off back-to-backs, but it's almost to the point now where every game is a must-win, even though there's 30 games left.
Right.
Want to hear from Caps fans. What are you thinking about this team that's lost 8 of 9? Article in the Washington Post about Todd Reirden and whether he can push the right buttons to turn it around. 800-636-1067. A couple of things the article points out, specifically what they need to turn around. Cousy, very inconsistent this year. Mm-hmm. Last year, there were moments when people thought, oh, he's going to be one of the best players in the game.
And Alan May basically talks about it every time he joins us, and I'm sure he'll do that when he's on the show later, is that he expects Cousy to be a top 5, top 7 point scorer in the NHL. And he's just not doing that this season.
Also, their top defensive pairing, Matt Niskanen and Dmitry Orlov, underperforming this year. Mm. I don't know why, but they're underperforming.
You know, and plus our friends over at Japer's Rink, they pointed out a stat, and I'm going to butcher it, but I'll just be roughly accurate with it, that when Brooks Orpik is in, has been available, been starting and playing, they've got a losing record, like, I don't know what, 9-17 or something. And then, but when he's been out, the team's like 17-9. So, and they even said, listen, this is not necessarily a causal relationship, but it is something to keep in mind here.
He's a very polarizing player.
They've played better without Orpik.
What also makes this worse for Caps fans is the team that leads the division is being coached by the guy who won you the Stanley Cup.
That stings a bit.
And didn't he inherit a team that was pretty bad last year?
They lost John Tavares to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And then everybody thought, I mean, go back and look at the preseason predictions. Nobody expected the Islanders to contend for the Metro Division title.
Right. And they're going to make the playoffs, and they may win the division.
Possibly.
So here's a question for you, Caps fans. Lots of questions out there. Have you lost faith in Reirden? I hope not. I know we love him. I haven't. I love the guy. But as McClellan says, you don't know until you do it.
Plus, you throw in the fact that NHL teams are just notorious for churning through coaches.
Right.
Like a lot of coaches do not get a long leash and a lot of time to turn things around.
That's why they wouldn't re-up and give Trotz a significant deal.
Right.
Because they could, you know, traditionally guys don't last that long. The other thing is, are you with Lurch and you're more upset with the guys? That this isn't a coaching thing. This is Cousy not playing up to par. Niskanen not playing up to par. The defense as a whole in front of Holtby not playing up to par.
But Reirden does have his part in pushing some buttons, and apparently he's trying some things that are different. The other night, Cousy took a bad penalty. He benched him.
Yeah.
Yashkin did the same. He benched both of them.
So he's
told the guys from
NBC.
He told the guys from NBC.
Nothing wrong. You got to be held accountable.
Yeah. Right.
I wish Brooks would do more of that.
That's why I'm blaming the players a little bit. Yeah. Why are you taking a stupid penalty in a key part of the game?
Right.
800-636-1067. I do tend to believe it's more about the players and the coach. Orpik says, I think it's kind of paramount for us to hold each other accountable, especially when you have a guy like Todd who's a real positive guy. If he came in here and just started ripping guys, guys would see right through it. That's not him. So there's times when maybe he's not going to do it, but he expects our group to kind of hold each other accountable.
Jason, I'm kind of getting a tingle. Kind of getting a tingle to bet the Caps money line tonight. I know you're going to lay a bunch of odds because Vancouver's not very good. Caps are at home. Caps money line is the play.
Oh, all right.
I don't think you should lose faith. If you said at the beginning of the year, here's where the Caps are going to be on February 5th, you'd probably take it. Just a couple games or a couple points out of first place. Decent record, right?
Yeah.
You'd maybe prefer first place, but it's not like you're out of the playoffs. So you're in perfect position come playoffs. It's just the way that it's been recently, losing eight out of nine.
Yeah.
That the focus is on, like, oh, everything's terrible.
I mean, if they were 4-4 in the last 8 or 4-5 in the last 9, I mean, would we be panicking? I don't think so. The fact that they've lost 8 of 9 and they had that 7-game losing streak, people are starting to panic a little bit.
And, Kicks, here's the exact stat. I'm going to quote our friends over at Japer's Rink. The Caps are 9-10-5 on a 79.82-game pace with Brooks Orpik in the lineup, but they're 19-8-1, 114-point pace when he hasn't played.
Okay. It's pretty substantial, the difference.
It doesn't necessarily mean it's because of that. Could just be coincidence, but something to look at. Let's go to Don in Ashburn, 800-636-1067. Come on, Caps fans. Want to hear from you. Don, what's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning, boys.
Hey, Don.
I do think that maybe Reardon's inexperience might play into it a little bit, but a couple things. I mean, if you go back before the losing streak started, they were a pretty darn good team at that point. And I know everybody wants to go from where the losing streak starts to where they are now. And I think if you just go a few games beyond that, you'll see it's not quite that bad, but what they're in now is pretty awful. And you've got a veteran-laden team, like you guys said, and that team learned last year that if they ever learned it, it was last year, that the regular season means nothing. So I have kind of a feeling that maybe they're just going through the motions knowing that they've got to kick it into gear. I have a feeling some of that is playing into this as well.
Hmm. Yeah.
I feel like,
right. But you make a good point. They were so good 3 weeks ago.
Right.
I mean, we were talking about.
They were sitting so pretty.
I asked Cakes, I said, is this team better than the team last year?
Yeah. Well, I remember.
You had to think about it for a second.
Yeah. I remember legitimately thinking about back-to-back possibilities like a month ago.
Right.
You could still think that. That's crazy because the playoffs are long and exhausting. Mm-hmm. But I remember still thinking about that because they were playing so well. And then, boom, somebody hit the doom switch on them, and they've lost 8-9. And you question everything now.
I'm not going to say
crazy
it's
how that
crisis
works.
Mode, but it's venturing close to that, especially
not,
if they lose tonight.
Is it not curious to you that you get a quote like that from McClellan on the record where he says, we don't know. I don't know when asked if he's the guy that can pull them out of this. We'll find out. It's results. It's a results business.
Well, maybe that's just,
a powerful quote.
But maybe that's just the way he answers questions like that.
I mean, that's very honest.
But maybe he's not answering it thinking, you know, he's portraying the situation over there at, or what is it called, MedStar, whatever, as dire and he's on shaky ground. Maybe he just answers questions in the way that you and I would answer it. We don't know.
Yeah, he's being honest.
We have no idea if we're going to
pull out of this. McClellan is definitely concerned and involved because if you watch the Bruins game, if you watch the broadcast, and we talked about the stick penalties benching Yashkin and Kuzi, apparently Reardon told the NBC Sports guys, like, these guys are going to start paying for these stick penalties. You know, they have to be held accountable. And Milbury, during the break, said the coaching decree was backed up by management. Quote, GM Brian McClellan kind of tweaked his coach. He's looking for more discipline and toughness to get them off the rocky road they've been on a while.
Right,
so
right.
It's not just Reardon. It's coming from the higher levels, too.
Right.
From
right.
management, basically.
I'm sure
saying,
they're together.
Let's get us out of this tailspin. These guys have got to start sitting when they're committing idiotic penalties that they shouldn't be committing.
All right, let's go to Kevin in Fairfax. Kevin, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, what's going on, boys?
Hey.
What's up, Kevin?
I think that Reardon has definitely the ability to turn the team around, and streaks happen in hockey. I mean, we were definitely limping into the All-Star break, and I think the guys need a little bit of rest. So you're 1-1 out of the break. We're going into a couple of games that are winnable for these guys, and I think the next few games are going to be very telling. Tonight would be a really good opportunity for them to turn it around because Vancouver's net front defense is absolute garbage. So if we can finally get the puck to the front of the net, we may be able to start winning some games. But I think the next couple are really, really important for us to be able to turn around.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate
definitely
it.
The next couple because you got to take advantage of this homestand.
And by the way, this is a long ways off, but I love Googling if the NHL playoffs started today. The matchup for the first round is the Penguins. Just something to think about, just something to look at down the road. That could be your first round matchup.
What happened when they played the Penguins last year, Cakes?
Took care of them.
See you later.
Buried them, sent them home.
You don't want to
play them to play
golf. You don't
want
to play them in the first round.
All right, we'll take more of your calls next at 800-636-1067. Taking your thoughts on the Capitals as they've lost 8-9, play Vancouver tonight.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Eve Carpet Clean listener line. 800-636-1067 is how you get in touch with us. And we're talking about the Caps, who have Vancouver tonight. Since the All-Star break, they came back with a win, but then lost 1-0 to Boston. That snapped a 14-game win streak against the Bruins. And we're kind of acting like the sky is falling, but the reality is they are tied for second in the Metro, 4 back of the Islanders, tied with the Pens at 28-18-6. 30 games left, article in the Washington Post, speculating whether Todd Reirden, the new head coach, can push the right buttons to turn things around, and we want to hear from you, so let's go right back to the phones.
All right, let's go. Let me see here. I don't see any Richmond calls. Where's Norfolk? All right, let's go to Pete in Laytonville. Pete, what's up, buddy? You're on the Junks.
Yeah, hey, Junks. Yeah, I think the McClellan quote is more of a directed at the Ted Leonsis and Dick Patrick, because that was an organizational decision not to bring Trotz back. And to not pay him when the guy won a championship for you, it's hard to win championships. You have the ingredients to win a championship, and now you're entrusting your decision making into a rookie head coach. That to me is they should have tried to keep Trotz. They should have negotiated something to where it would work for all parties. That's the storyline the rest of the year.
Yeah, but that's done. That's done. Look, they're not going to get him back. So what do you see on the ice this season, and what do you see from Reirden?
So the players definitely have – there's been some bad turnover, some lazy decision-making, they're not into it. But if you look around the Metro Division, they're all coached by Stanley Cup champions. Mm-hmm. You got Torts, you got Trotz, and you got Sullivan. That's who Reardon's going to have to outsmart. And so that is the storyline. So he's got to get the players motivated, and I think McClellan's going to make some moves at the trade deadline to give them a boost. But it's going to come down to the players, but it's also going to come down to Reardon and getting the funk out of the power play. The penalty killing's been atrocious. Hmm. What's going on with the penalty killing? The face-offs, they've been terrible on face-offs.
Jay
That's
Beagle.
Something that it's got to be corrected.
Yep.
Maybe they missed Jay Beagle.
Man, Boston was crushing
they definitely
them.
Miss him.
They have to miss him.
They definitely miss him.
He was too good at his skill not to miss him. I mean, he was great face-offs.
We'll talk to Alan May, who knows more about this at 820. He always kind of poo-pooed the loss of Jay Beagle.
He said the face-off stat was kind of overrated. Last time we brought it up, I remember asking him the question.
Let's go to Chris in Beale. Chris, what's up, man? You're all with the Junks. 800-636-1067. What's up, Chris?
Morning, guys.
Hey, Chris.
Hey. Real quick, I think the McClellan quote is kind of more of he doesn't know. I mean, there's no history to fall back on for Reardon.
Yeah.
There's no history to fall back on to prove that he can come out of this. Mm-hmm. I don't see why he couldn't. I think the team's too good. But then I also agree with Bish. I think this is more on the players. Just lazy turnovers. There's too many veterans on this team for lazy mistakes. And Caps are the worst at it. Anytime they make a mistake, the puck's usually in the net. I think the team needs to figure something out together more than what the coaching is doing. Because right. These guys know what they need to do.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Chris. Here's the thing about McClellan's quote. If he answers it differently, the response is, how do you know?
Well, not necessarily.
So he's being honest because...
He is being honest.
Actually, there's no way to know. Like, if he says, we have the right man for the job, Todd Reirden will turn it around, then you can say, well, how do you know? He's never done it.
Well, you just say, I have faith in him.
Yeah,
he's got the right pedigree. He's done it. He's made the right moves all along
his
career
coach,
path.
He's helped coach two teams to Stanley Cups. I mean, he's got experience.
You could answer it that way.
But that also tells me that McClellan's not a BSer.
Oh, yeah, it sure seems like it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Proof's in the pudding.
He's not going to BS you through the media and say all the right things.
Right.
That's the way he honestly feels.
Yeah, I know.
And I can see
that. The real honest quote.
Yeah.
I agree. All right. But he could have muted it and pumped air in his tires a little more. He didn't.
Well, you know what? They keep losing. He might be forced with a decision.
That's what it makes me wonder.
I don't know if he would do that mid-season. But
I don't think he would just pull the plug on
third second place.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Again, the sky's not falling. Right. They're 28-18-6.
Why didn't he give him more of a ringing endorsement though? All right, let's go to
necessary.
Let's go to Kathy, Alexandria. Kathy, what's up?
Hey, Junks, can you hear me?
Yep. Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
How are you, Kathy?
All right. So I'm good. So I'm going to the game tonight, and I want to tell Cakes, you should go to the game. There's lots of seats available, and it's Beagle's first trip back.
Ah, that is true.
Oh, that's right. I forgot Beagle's is coming back.
I'm actually headed to the game on Saturday.
Our face-off percentage will probably be like 30% because Beagle will be on the other side of the circle, so that's going to be a pain. But I'm not panicking yet. I want you guys to channel back to last spring. Remember when Holtby went into his funk after the All-Star break?
Yep.
And we were putting Grubauer in, and then Trotz played Grubauer in the first two games against the Blue Jackets, and we lost both. That was full-fledged panic mode right there. I mean, Cakes, you were done, right? You thought we were toast.
Yes, I thought the Cavs were officially
done. Well, he wasn't
done.
The only one.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm nervous, but I'm not panicking. And I do think Reardon's just having first-year jitters. I mean, it's hard. All of a sudden, you're the guy in charge, and you're not, like, just executing somebody else's plan. It's your plan. And when it's not working, ooh, what are you going to do? So,
Kathy, when would you panic? Let's say this streak ends up being they've lost 8 of 9. Let's say they've lost 12 out of 15.
Well, I mean, they butchered the homestand.
We need to win the rest of these games in this homestand. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Win or at least get a point. But if and you know, Boston was going to beat us sooner or later. We've beaten them 14 games in a row or something.
Sure.
But 1-0. And it is. There's a lot of lazy turnovers. There's bad zones into the bad entries into the offensive zone. It's just.
It was 1-0, but it wasn't that close. I believe they were outshot in the first period 15-7 and in the second period 15-8. So
yeah, well,
fortunate.
we took a lot of stupid penalties, right? So as soon as you get those back-to-back penalties, then we go on a power play, and then Oshie commits a penalty, so then we're 4-on-4. When you're on the penalty kill,
brutal.
They're going to get a lot more shots.
Yeah,
so,
they're like 15 or 20 seconds into the power play, and Oshie commits a penalty.
Right, that was like, 5 minutes left in the game or whatever? That
Something
was like their
like
big
that,
chance.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Chris. I got Chris out in Lorton. Chris, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
What's up, boys? How you doing?
Hey, Chris. Doing great.
So, you know, the whole thing is last year and years before, Reardon was the good cop. You know, when players were upset with what Barry was saying, people were going to Reardon. Now he has to kind of change that tone after being here for 5 years. I think that's been a little more difficult for him and for management than they thought. However, you know, the team's super talented. If they're going to come through this, not panicked, but definitely I think it's a case where Reardon is just really trying to find his way as a head coach. He's been an assistant where everyone loves him. Now it's time to kind of be that mean guy and hold players accountable.
Do you put any stock into the Orpik stat that's out there? They're 9-10 and whatever with him, and then they're like on a 114-point pace without him.
You know, Alan May, if you asked him that, he would start yelling at you and crucifying
He's a big Orpik guy.
Okay.
He's a big Orpik guy.
Yeah.
But I will say that in the regular season, the game is faster. Orpik just can't keep up. In the playoffs, he's perfect because the game slows down.
Mm-hmm.
But in the regular season, he just can't keep up. We've got these young guys. We've got Bowie. We've got Siegenthaler. And then obviously Juice is coming back. But we're playing a young guy with speed with an old guy with no speed. It's very difficult for that third pair to do anything against, you know, even third and fourth liners.
Gotcha. All right, great call. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it, buddy. All right, let's go.
Never thought about that.
Let's go to Mike in Leesburg. Mike, what's up, man?
Hey.
You're on with the Junks.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey,
Mike. What's up?
It's just like baseball. It's the dog days of hockey.
All right.
And, you know, all this, I look at it as, yeah, every team beats every team one game. But the linchpin is, can you beat me 4 out of 7?
Right.
That's what the Stanley Cup is about. That's what the World Series is about. You might be able to beat me one game, you know, in a season, but can you beat me 4 out of 7? So I kind of put the teams together and says, what teams can beat the Caps 4 out of 7 times? Not many. And that's really what it's about. I just think they're having a one of these mid-season dog days, just like baseball. They're just not. I just think they're getting out hustled. Really, that's when I watch them. It's the other teams are like running circles around them,
right.
And they just need to start playing harder. I don't think it's anything really that complicated.
Right.
So
you think they're in a malaise and that they just have to snap out of it somehow?
You know, you just had the Christmas holidays and the, you know, and you kind of They won a Stanley Cup. And, you know, when you're the top dog, everybody wants to beat you. And you're getting everybody's A game.
Right.
And
right.
they got to play their A game.
Right.
And they haven't been playing their A game.
Gotcha.
All right. You may be right, but it may be a situation where McClellan says he doesn't know. And I like Coach Reardon. I don't think this is the case. But what if he is the wrong guy? Jim tweets us at Junks Radio. The Caps refused to pay Trotz, now struggling. Nats refused to pay Dusty, barely went 500. Simple. I don't know if it's that simple, but it's possible.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see at the end of the year.
Let's go to Ron, Prince Frederick. Ron, what's up, man? You're all with the Junks.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Good morning.
Hey, man.
I think Bish is right on. I don't think it's a coach thing. I think it's a player thing, and here's why. I've been following the game for 40 years. I played some youth hockey in Bowie, and I'm not an X's and O's expert. But my barometer for working hard has always been what the forwards do after they rush the, you know, if they gain the zone and they, you know, there's a possession change. These guys aren't back checking like they did during the run last year, and that's an effort. That's a work ethic issue right now, and I just don't think that they have kind of taken it to that next level. Now, hopefully,
that'll
come around.
But it's not just that, right? It's the stupid penalties. It's the defense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's the turnovers.
Right, and it's just being lazy. One of your other callers said the same thing. I think it's being lazy, and it's not working to get in a position. And when you're out of position, that's when you make those mistakes. And I think that's the real issue. And I think McClellan he answers questions. Again, Bish was right. He answers questions that way. He's a straight shooter, no nonsense. And I think it's probably his way of, the coach is accountable just like every player is.
Right.
So hopefully they start working hard and they win some games and get on track.
They have the talent. We know they have the talent.
They're the same guys.
You know, Tom Wilson, for example, when he came off suspension, he was on fire.
Yeah, what happened?
He's cooled off a little bit?
He had to.
I mean, it was
ridiculous.
He was on fire.
Right.
I mean, I think he's already set his high for goals in a season.
Cakes,
he did it with the quickness. And then Kuzi's a guy, I think that's maybe the frustrating one, is that Kuzi's a guy who has the talent to be one of the best players in the game. And you see that from time to time.
And the matching contract. He's getting paid superstar money.
All right, well, Cakes, would you – I'm not saying it's a must-win. It's not like you lose, you're out of the playoffs.
Right.
But based on the mindset of the team, the pressure from the fans, the pressure from the media, all the questions surrounding Reardon now, is it a must-win tonight?
I don't know if it's a must-win, but, I mean, I'm looking at the next four on the homestand, Vancouver, Colorado, Florida, and the LA Kings. Only one of those teams – is currently in playoff contention is Vancouver, and they're like the 8 seed. The other
teams, that's who we play tonight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then Colorado comes in.
We should
in,
go 4-0.
At minimum, they should go 3-1 in this stretch.
Okay, but
at
not the
minimum.
Way they're playing. Maybe on paper they should.
You got to take advantage of the bottom feeders, and the bottom feeders are showing up in D.C.
So
over
they
the next
lose,
week.
They lose tonight.
That's 9 of 10.
9 of 10.
It's 9 of 10.
Not getting any better.
Right.
And what if they play great? Like, I actually thought in the Bruins game it wasn't horrible. I mean, the stupid Oshie penalty late was stupid. But, you know, I think they outshot him. Hope he played out of his mind. They just were on the wrong side of that. If it's a game like that, not as bad.
It's big.
I think you're going to see a more spirited
I'm sorry, it's
effort
big.
Tonight.
Let's
you're not
go.
See, you're not going to see a 1-0.
Well, and it's always
like
hard. I mean, that game against Boston started at noon, right? It was a noon.
Yeah, it was like 12:30.
Puck drop. Yeah, I mean, it's always tough to predict how these teams are going to play or so early in the day. They're not used to it.
Stuart, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
Good morning, guys.
What's up, Stu?
So, since McClellan took over, he's been incredibly frank. When he first signed the deal to become general manager, he said, "We need a couple defensemen and we need a top six forward to ride shotgun with Ovi and Backstrom." And what does he do? He signs Niskanen, he signs Orpik, he goes out and trades for Oshie. So ever since he was hired, he's been incredibly frank with the media, with the fans, with anybody that asks. So when he goes into the Washington Post and says Niskanen and Orlov have been disappointing, he's correct. They have been, and they need to step up their game. When he goes and says, hey, Todd Reardon needs to turn it around, don't know if he has it or not, he's being true. Reardon doesn't have the track record as a head coach yet. He made the hire based on the options at the time. Reardon was his guy. So I'm never going to fault Brian McClellan for being frank, using what I think he said is true. On the hockey note, I mean, there's definitely been some disappointment this year in terms of the players. I don't think it's Reardon's fault. I think it's more to do with the players. I mean, Kuznetsov refuses to score at even strength. He has one or two goals at even strength, and we're more than halfway through the season.
What is he taking, just bad shots? What is it? Not taking enough shots?
I always say that Kuznetsov's fault is overpassing. You could definitely see some times on 5-on-5 where he'll either be alone on the goalie or he has an open shot to the net and he decides to pass back through traffic and try to find Wilson or Oshie while they're marked by two guys. And you go, well, maybe just shoot that one. And sometimes it sets up spectacular plays where you go, wow, Kuznetsov had eyes in the back of his head. How did he do that? And then other times you go, why are you passing so much? Please just shoot the puck.
Right.
And then McClellan has said that they're going to make trades. They're looking to make a hockey move, and they think hockey moves can be made. And, I mean, if that means you're going to move Burakovsky, you're going to try to find a move one of these older veteran contracts. And I also think everyone has to keep in perspective, they're 3 points off the pace they were last year. This is not the end of the world. The sky is not falling. Everything is all right. They're in a little bit of a rut, but I wouldn't say we should be Chicken Little here. And getting Christian Juice back is going to be huge. I mean, he's a mobile defenseman that adds an offensive punch to that third pairing. Because if you look at it right now, Siegenthaler and Orpik, they obviously don't have the same offensive prowess. And Bowie, for as much as he was touted, has not delivered the offensive goods at this level. Christian Juice has proven to do that. He did it last year. He did it in the playoffs. And getting him back is really going to give you some controlled entry into the offensive zone, quick clears, and just give you another mobile puck-moving defenseman that third pairing is missing at the moment.
All right, Stuart. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Good call.
Easy, boys.
By the way,
good
Jason,
call.
You want a Jamal Murray?
A nugget?
A nougat?
The Canucks are 2-10 in their last 12 playing on 0 days rest, which is what they're doing tonight.
All right, so you love the Capitals tonight.
I love the Caps tonight.
That's going to be my play in hockey.
Love them.
Do I puck line it? Do I money
probably
line it? Maybe both?
Them just so hard. What I'm doing right now.
Yeah, we'll talk to Alan May at 8:20 about the Caps and their losing streak.
All right, guys. Interested in heating up that career and joining a 5-star team? Well, don't miss Crop Metcalf's career fair events this Wednesday in Fairfax and Thursday in Beltsville. Crop Metcalf is hiring the very best in residential and commercial HVAC, plumbing, pest control, office support, and sales, and offers excellent benefits, competitive wages, and a consistent year-round work schedule. For details, call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit cropmetcalf.com/careerfair. Crop Metcalf, home of the 5-star technician.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington if you want to follow along on TV. Join us right now to talk all things the business of sports is our buddy John Aran, media reporter for Sports Business Journal. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good morning. Good. I was actually just kind of perusing your tweets recently, and one jumped out at me, and it just frustrates the hell out of us, but it makes some sense. The kids still watch the Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl still had 8 million viewers, and you compared it to the best college basketball game of the year, viewer-wise, and it didn't even have half that. That was Duke UVA.
Isn't that insane? I mean, I don't personally know one person that watches the NFL Pro Bowl, but you run out on a Sunday with no other NFL games or really no other football. You run out an exhibition game, and it just brings in huge numbers. It's really incredible, and it's akin to actually the preseason. Who watches preseason NBA? Not a lot of people, but you know, preseason NFL. Some of those games, especially with Cleveland and God, why am I blanking on the quarterback's name? But they got some big numbers as well in the preseason. But it's
Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield. Thank you. I was going to say Johnny Football, but I knew it wasn't him.
Right.
But it's these NFL exhibitions. It just shows the strength of the NFL. any other league would give their right eye, really, to get those kind of numbers for an exhibition.
John, do you think it's young eyeballs that are being drawn to the Pro Bowl? Because, like, as you mentioned, I don't know one adult that sits down and would give even 30 minutes to the Pro Bowl, let alone a couple of hours. Is it the younger demo that's watching?
You know, the crazy thing, the kids these days, they all stream, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so I can't imagine. I haven't actually dove into the demo, so I don't know. But my guess is that it's an older audience that's watching the Pro Bowl.
Because
it's really old guys that watch broadcast TV. It's not the younger kids.
Is it this love of football the reason why networks are getting involved with the spinoff leagues like the XFL and the Alliance of American Football? Because Steve tweeted about that recently. I can't believe they're going to get network deals.
Yeah, isn't that insane? So the XFL isn't launching for another year, and you're going to be able to see their games on ABC and Fox. I mean, those aren't little deals. Those are pretty substantial deals. Are you guys going to watch Alliance next week?
Does it start next week? What's the schedule?
The opening game is next, I believe it's Saturday.
Wow.
And it's going to be on CBS, a broadcast network.
I'm not going to watch it just because it's football. Got to have names.
I don't even know what cities have teams. I don't know team names.
Yeah, you got to know players. Like, one reason why the USFL, now I'm dating us here, but that Herschel Walker, right? They had Gary Clinton. It's just massive names. I don't know anybody playing in the AAF.
You're gonna have guys like Trent Richardson playing.
I know the coaches, but I
know the coaches. You're probably going to know the analysts as well that are going to be doing it. They haven't announced them yet, so I'm not sure who it's going to be. But they're going to be sort of bigger names there as well. And it's just going to be football. So if you're conditioned to watch NFL Network on a Thursday night, the first Thursday night of the playoffs, re-aired a game. And it got almost 1 million viewers for a re-air. I mean, so the people are just kind of conditioned to, you know, you go to a bar and you just want to have it on, or that's not Nielsen rated, but they're trying to just get these people that are conditioned to do it.
Well, the Alliance rules are going to be interesting. They're going to try and speed this game up, right? So the play
2 hours. Yeah,
the play clock's going to be, I think they said 30 seconds. Instead of the onside kicks, they're going to give the team the ball at their own 35 and a 4th and 10. If they convert, they get to keep the ball. No extra points. You got to go for two. So they are tweaking a lot of the rules to make it more interesting and maybe more viewer friendly. But I'm like Eric. I mean,
I need to know the players.
Well, I mean, you'll probably recognize
quarterback.
You'll recognize some of them.
You can watch Aaron Murray play for the Atlanta Legends.
But here's the deal, John. You can bet on the game, so it adds some more interest.
Are you really? Are you going to wager on this?
I don't know. Probably not.
All right, but yeah, so here we go, John. So we talk about this and the 8 million dummies that are watching it and how football just always draws eyeballs, and yet there's a narrative that the Super Bowl is down, and I guess statistically it is, right? It's lowest rated Super Bowl since 2007, 2008, whatever it is. And yet numbers were up this year but down for the Super Bowl. Is that a product of sort of a lack of interest from L.A., lack of interest from New Orleans, or is there something bigger at stake here?
I don't think there's anything bigger at stake yet. I think it's something that bears watching because that 100 million number, they dropped below 100 million viewers, and that was sort of a big marker. And when they passed it 10 years ago, that was a big deal. And now they dropped back below that. And that's similarly a big deal. They're trying to say that they got a lot more streaming, and they got over 100 million if you include the number of people that watch it on streams. But it's
that counts. That kind of does count.
It does count. But my point is, 98 million viewers is going to be the number one program, most watched show by far of anything on television in the United States.
By 50 million, probably.
Yeah, it's ridiculous how big that number is. So really, whether it's 105 million or 98 million,
I agree.
It's really insubstantial to me. I mean, until it gets down to back down to 70, you know, and I don't see it going down like that. It's still a number that's just awe-inspiring, really.
The Tony Romo situation, everybody seemed to fall in love with him down the stretch. I've always liked him. I love when he's calling out the plays and kind of predicting things. He did less of that, though, in the Super Bowl. Is that sort of a product, in your estimation, of just sort of a dull game offensively, when a lot of opportunities for him to call out some big explosive plays? Or do you think there was something bigger there?
No, I think it was a little bit of a dull game. And I think it's for CBS, it's executives. It's less about him actually predicting plays, and it's more about, like, you know, he brings like this genuine excitement to it. So when he's predicting plays, he's like in there and just almost like shouting out like he's sitting next to you on a couch. And
right.
I always compare that to, like, you know, Gus Johnson, who I just think, like, I think his excitement level is not genuine. Like, I think that a couple decades ago when he first started sort of shouting endings of games, it was, but now that's sort of what he's expected to do. So
it's
he does
shtick,
it, you know? Yeah, it's a shtick. With Tony Romo, it doesn't feel like a shtick at all to me when he does that. He feels like genuine, like they got to do this. And that's sort of how the predictions come out, but it's less predictions, more enthusiasm to me.
Gotcha. All right. So, what about the Adnan Burke guy? I'll be honest with you. I wasn't a big Adnan Burke guy. I didn't know about him.
Come on.
You know, he's a big MLB guy. He's apparently escorted off campus there in Bristol after allegedly leaking information, maybe to awful announcing. What's your take on that whole deal?
Yeah, guys, this for me is a bigger story than the Super Bowl numbers. This is crazy. Apparently, he didn't just give information to awful announcing, because look. For what we do, all of us have sources everywhere, and they give information. He actually, the allegation is, called up some of his supervisors, asked questions that were provided to him, you know, and that by awful announcing, got the answers, turned around and asked him. Once the ESPN executives sort of figured that out, that just was a different level of passing on information that came out of a meeting. That was something that sort of really concern them. So that,
and he's going to sue now, though? Is that what he's alleging?
That's what it looks like. So it's there will be lawyers, as they say.
Because he had just signed a 4-year deal.
Well, it just sounds like he's a
big
stupid
deal.
Because if he's the only person getting that info, they're going to know exactly where it came from.
Took him 2
no
seconds
kidding.
To that.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, if you work in this business, you have to know about that. And then also on awful announcing, Casey, you got to take care of your sources. You can't allow that guy to be out there on his own.
Yeah. That's not good.
That's unbelievable.
Not good.
All right, John.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Hey, always always love doing this. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thanks, John.
I can't believe the XFL and the Alliance of American Football are getting network deals.
They are. Because the networks are starved post-Super Bowl for some sort of football content, and there it is.
Dude, but there is so much more sports out there than, you know, when we grew up. We're all born in 1970, so, you know, we started with the cable boom, and then it was, like, amazing when you had just, like, TBS games to watch.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, now I'm just amazed on the weekends, and I guess sometimes during the week, how much international soccer there's available.
Yeah.
You can watch Bundesliga. You can watch Premier League.
What do you think AWOT does every weekend?
The Italian League.
He drinks his face off and watches La Liga on TV.
There's a need for the program.
Find it.
We had our guy Paul Rabel in here. He's got a deal with NBC.
Yeah.
PLL. There's a brand new league. They're going to have a deal
with NBC. Here's some of the quarterbacks in the Alliance. All right. So for Arizona, you probably don't remember John Wolford, but he played at Wake Forest. Trevor Knight's going to be on that roster. Atlanta, you got Aaron Murray.
Okay.
Heard of him.
You know Aaron Murray.
He's got the hot...
it's not worth tuning in for.
I didn't say that.
Catherine Webb?
That's
AJ McCarron. But I'm telling you, Aaron Murray had a silly.
I'm sure he did. You're getting your SEC quarterbacks mixed up.
Birmingham, you got Blake Sims, former Bama quarterback. Also, okay. Trent Richardson. All right, so regionally it makes sense. It's Birmingham.
Sure.
Memphis has Christian Sackenberg.
Oh, really?
And also Zach Mettenberg. They're going for all the Bergs.
Right. Oh, man.
And then you recognize a lot of the coaches, but, you know.
Spurrier.
Some of these guys were really good college players, but they couldn't crack an egg. In
the other alternative leagues back in the day used to have sillies.
Yeah.
This doesn't have any sillies.
Well, I don't know that the XFL had any sillies.
Well, they had, like, Tommy Maddox, who ended up playing,
Tommy
pretty
Maddox
high level.
Was like Christian Hackenberg at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
Maybe more accomplished.
All right. Remember, coming up at 8:20, Alan May is going to join us. We will talk about the struggling Caps. Sage Rosenfels, former NFL QB, joins us at 9:20. And Chris Miller on the Wizards at 9:40, all right here on the Junkies.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.